When we walk out of here, when we're done this morning, you have this choice, all right? So get ready to choose. You have the choice to walk out of here. Every step you take, every breath you make, I think that's a song, I'm not for sure. But you can live the rest of your life. Now, just stay with me on this, because the Lord told me to ask you this. So don't look at me like that. If you could walk the rest of your life in every step blessed. Now, if you know about the blessings of God, I'm talking about that's your life, that's your health, that's your calling, that's your finances, that's your family, that's everything. I asked them to turn these off because I didn't like your eyes going there. I want your eyes here. I don't like your eyes talking to somebody else or looking down on a text. I want your eyes here. I'm not saying that because I'm mean. I'm saying it because I love you and I want you to attain your goal and win the prize. We all need to be coached. Don't be uncoachable. I know that. Who do you think you... Don't be uncoachable. You'll never reach your potential with God. You'll never see the blessings I'm about to talk about either. Now stay hooked up. All right? Or otherwise you're going to be doing laps around this building or push-ups. Steve jokes about coming out there. He's scared to death to come out there. I will come back. No, I'm just teasing. I'm pleading. All right. Stay with me. Your choice is you can leave here today blessed the rest of your life every step. Or you can choose to leave here today every step cursed. How hard a choice is that? Right? Who would choose cursing? But God said, a lot of my people have. As dumb as that choice is, now notice he said what? Choice. Everybody say choice. As dumb as that choice is, a lot of us, or we should say foolish to make it sound a little bit nicer. As foolish as that choice is, a lot of Christians who are born again, who chose life and not death, who gave their life to Jesus, has still chose cursing. But who would choose cursing? Who in their right? You just went, duh. That, exactly. Who in their right mind is going to choose cursing? But we have. A lot of us have. And a lot of us are going to continue to. It's a choice. Now the Lord said to me, now everybody stay with me. When I created man, don't you know that was a big moment? When I created man, I gave him two choices. Now, if you know anything about the Torah or Hebrew or mom or how you learn all this, when God says something the first time about something, you can camp out right there because that's what he means about it the rest of the way. So when he created man, here's what he said to him. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 30, New Living Translation, if you would please. Today I have given you the what? The what? The what? Everybody say it. Now. Take it off for a second. Take that off just for a second. Be ready to put it back up. Listen to me. Everybody stay with me. This is so important in your life. I'm talking about in your children's life.
What?
You're never going to forget this. This is a defining moment for you. God wants you to live in the blessings he created you to. That was God's plan A. Now, he gave everybody a chooser. It's called a will. He even gave the angels a will. Everything God created is good.
He created Satan. What are you talking about?
No, he created Lucifer. Lucifer chose to be Satan. He loved Lucifer. And so he was an anointed cherub. But remember the five I wills that Lucifer said? That was his choice. And a third of the angels chose. That means angels had a will. And then the rest of the angels chose not to go with him. So all angels had a will. So God makes man. I'm going to give him a will. And then I'm going to give him two choices. Where you're at right now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Where you're at right now is a result of choices you made. The power of choice, don't overlook that thing. And I'm here to tell you, blessings and cursings hang on choices that you made. It's not just, here you are. Oh, I receive them. It's not just that. And you're going to find out what more it is. You want to know how powerful choices are? A lot of y'all have heard this, but I want to hear it again myself. I was preaching in New York City and at Wall Street, and they gave me this. I was getting ready to go, and they gave me the Wall Street Journal, and there was an article on the front page, and it was about two brothers. One brother was living on the streets in a cardboard box, alcoholic, dying in front of your eyes, living on the streets. His brother was a CEO multimillionaire in New York City, one of the richest men there. I don't know why they didn't help each other, blah, blah, blah. But they wouldn't speak to each other. They interviewed the one dying on the street. Why are you here? Why has your life ended up in a cardboard box on a street dying, begging for money? He said, I'll tell you why. Because of my no good father, who was an alcoholic. He abused me and my brother and my mother, and on and on and on. Well, they interviewed the rich brother. And he didn't know what the other brother said. And he said, they said, why are you where you're at? Wealthy, CEO, multimillionaire. He said, I'll tell you why I'm here. Because of my no good father who was an alcoholic who abused me and my brother and my mother. It was word for word the exact answer as his brother. Two extremely different places, results, all because of choices. They both were dealt a bad hand. Are y'all with me? They both were dealt a bad father, abusive situation, but one chose to go this way and one chose to go that way. So there may be things in your life and some things may be persecuting you and things may be happening to you, but you have a choice and God gave it to you and it's a powerful thing. And you can choose blessing right there instead of cursing. Are y'all still with me or not? Now, when God made man, I already gave the angels one, and half of them took the wrong choice, and some of them didn't, and here we go. Now, I'm going to make man and give him one too, and I'm going to give him two choices. Let's look at them. Click. Today I've given you the choice between life and death. Here comes the other one, between blessings and cursings. The Lord said to me, study the word, and every time you see blessings and cursings together, I want you to think about the first time I said blessings and cursings when I made man, and that they were a choice. So I went through the Bible, and I started every time I saw blessings and cursings together, I thought to myself and said out loud, choice. Are y'all with me or not? Okay. Now, oh, here comes. Now, this is, how many have chosen? Now, look, there's two choices right here. These are separate. They're not together. So many Christians think they're together. No, because God says, I have churches filled with believers who are still living in the cursings. It's a different choice. They're separate. Now, blessings and cursings. Now, I love this part. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. How many have got loved ones in heaven right now? Grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, brother, sister, cousin, friend. They're witnessing your choices. God calls them the great cloud of witnesses. My father is witnessing my choices. Spiritually. And then he said, I'm going to have all of earth witness your choices. Your family and everybody lives around you and your neighbors and your students and your friends at school, guess what they're doing? They're witnesses to what? Your choices. And it's affecting their life. That's why God needs blessed Christians. Why? Witnesses are watching you. Are y'all with me or not? Are y'all getting this? Okay. Blessings and cursings are a choice, and I'm going to have all of heaven and earth witness these choices you make. Now, all right, thank you for that. Now, let me start it with this. My spiritual father, Kenneth Copeland. When my dad died in 1986, God told Brother Copeland to spiritually father my mom's children. So he did. He said something that rocked my world that goes right along with this. All right? Faith, everybody say faith, is the connector between God and the blessings. So we're talking about blessings, which are a choice. Faith, the connector to it. And then he said fear is the connector between Satan and the cursings. So you're connected to one or the other. Stay connected. Don't disconnect. Stay connected. Don't you, hey, think about Jesus with Jairus. Remember the news Jairus got about his daughter? Don't bother Jesus anymore. She's dead. Your daughter's dead. Jesus turns. One translation says, hearing what they said, overhearing what they said, but he ignored it. And he says, Jairus, oh my goodness, you're about, in other words, let me just translate it from the Chip Brim translation. You are about to make a choice that's going to determine whether she lives or dies. It's either faith or fear. You heard some bad news. Stay connected. Faith is the connector between God and the blessings. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Fear is the connector. Which one are you connected to? Stay connected. Now, the Bible says this. Oh, have you ever seen mom do that? Anyway. A faithful man, this is the Bible, Proverbs, shall abound, everybody say abound, with blessings. Now remember what God said about blessings? Choice. A faithful man will abound. What's abound mean to you? Abound. Cricket. Abound. What is it? A lot. Overflowing. Right? With what? Blessings. Why? Because he's chose to be faithful. He's chose to stay connected. When bad hands or bad situations and pressure comes, he's chose to stay connected to faith. He stays connected with God. Now, God's made a promise. You will abound because of your choice with blessings. And if you're not abounding like you would like to be abounding, then don't accuse the word of God of not being true. Check up on your faithfulness. Back row, we all right? Here we go. Pay attention. Let me say it again. A faithful man, this is a promise from God. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. That's a promise from God. Faithfulness. God promotes faithfulness. It's always about faith. Those who are faithful with few will be made rulers over much. Remember the talents? Remember Jesus in the synagogue? Remember him taking up the offering? Remember when he watched the offering? Can you imagine if that happened at your church? Not only did he watch the offering, he watched how much they put in it. Because he knew how much the widow put in it. He knew how much everybody else put in it. And he said, she gave more than everybody else did. How did he know that? He saw it. He watched it. Could you imagine if me as the pastor did that? All right, everybody line up on your tithes and offerings. Single file. All right, one by one, let's hand me your, don't put an envelope, I want to see it. Come up, all right, here we go. Really? Hey, woo, come on. Do you know what would happen? Oh, well, your church, boom, it's gone. And the media's going to come in. That's the pastor who did that. And the whole time, I'd be following the example of Jesus. But he hadn't told me to do it that way, so I'm not going to do it. But he checks up on your faithfulness. Now, all my life, when I started in the ministry, there was something bugging me. Not that I was accusing God or God, it's not true, or questioning God. There was, now, stay with me, guys, on this. There was something about things that Paul wrote that just, is this dude on drugs? I mean, where did I not read that at? Did he have a drug problem before when he was persecuting Christians? Because he wrote things like, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious no matter what happens to you. Has he ever drove in traffic?
Does he not have a mother-in-law? Is this on tape? Cut that part out. I love my mother-in-law. Y'all with me? Had he not gone to junior high or high school? Has he not been? You know what I mean? And then he writes things like, in prison, he's chained up. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. This is a great time to praise God. What? Come on. Are y'all with me? That was in me, and I want real. You know, the earth wants real. People, the world is looking for real. That's why reality TV is number one. Every category, reality TV is number one. They love real. Well, you know what the world's waiting on? The real church. The reality church. Oh, they love the reality TV in the world, but it's time for the reality church. And then that's when everything will explode, when it becomes real. It was real to Paul, not real to me yet. How can this dude act like this? How can a guy on a ship who was sent from God to Caesar on a mission, his ship goes in a million pieces with this hurricane, and he yells out, "Be of good cheer!" I bet they said, "What? Did he say save the beer?" No, he said, "Cheer. We're drowning." I know. Are y'all, you're with me, right? Yeah. What? Come on. Paul knew something. He had to know something. What did Paul know? Because you can't do that and not know something. And then he gets to the shore and a storm comes, another storm comes, an ice storm. He could have went, "Okay, God, I get it. My ship sunk. I've done something wrong, under condemnation." But no, you know what faith does when your ship goes down? It swims. You know what faith does when it starts raining on your parade? Builds a fire. That's what he did. Then what happens next? Gets bit by the serpent. And it latches. Greek word says latches. Venom went in. It was the deadliest serpent on that island. And you know what? He was being witnessed. Oh, come on. Do you remember when God made man? He said, "I'm going to have all of heaven and earth witness your choices." Paul was making choices. Ship goes down. It looks like everything's crumbled. I don't know what to do. He chooses to be of good cheer and swim. It gets cold, ice storm, boom. It's raining on your parade. He chooses to stay in faith. He chooses to build a fire. Snake bites him. What does he do? Shakes it off. Come on, shake it off. Endure. Shake it off. He shakes it off, and he's being witnessed because everybody on that island said this. This is what they said about him. "He is cursed." Oh, wait a minute. Now we're talking about blessings and cursings. Why did they say that? We're witnessing him, dude. His ship's in a million pieces. The worst storm ever just moved in, and he's going to die in seconds. I bet they had shovels behind him. Just fall backwards. He's getting ready to die. And they said, "He's cursed." Why? They're witnessing him. You are being witnessed right now, whether you know it or not. God created you, and he says, "I'm going to give you a choice." How many have chose life? You asked Jesus into your heart. Good choice! Don't tell me you can't choose. You made the greatest choice of your life. Now you got another one. Are you with me? Blessings, not cursings. Every time you're getting ready to hear this one verse that Paul wrote, I want you to think choice. And where you're at right now is because of choices you made. You made them in traffic. You made them at school. You made them online. You made them tweeting and twittering and texting and Facebooking and Instagramming and what? Kick him out?
No!
No, I just go. All right. So Paul, they said he's cursed. Well, he doesn't die. And they said, "Oh, nobody's ever not died from that snake bite. He's a god. They changed their witness and said he's a god. And so he straightens them all out, and they take him up to the palace of the king of that where he was shipwrecked at. And the king brings his father, who was sick and dying. Paul lays hands on him, and he is healed. And the word gets out, and so they started bringing all the sick to Paul, and he lays hands on them, and they all get healed. Good thing he made the right choices during that time of persecution and pressure, because look what was hanging on it. The blessings were just around the corner. Listen to me, guys. Stay with me right here. Now, not only that, Rick Renner speaks on this. You got to hear him speak on it, a Greek scholar. He says they honored Paul because of what was happening. That Greek word for honor means bling, bling. Everything they had of value, gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, gems, everything they had, they piled it and gave it to him. Now he instantly becomes wealthy. How wealthy did he become? He used that money to buy a house when he landed there. And how big was the house? He had a meeting with all the leaders of Israel, which was over 350 in his living room. That's a pretty big house. Was he, oh God, give me a house. Oh God, that's part of the blessings. You make the right choices. God, I need money. I need money. God's not moved by need. He's moved by faith. A faithful man shall abound. That's abounding with blessings. He said, guys, I got to go, man, but I don't have a ship. They go, you need a ship? They gave him a ship from the port of Alexandria. The port of Alexandria made the best ships in the world, every bell, every whistle, every luxury thing you could have on it. He came in in a Volkswagen Rabbit or something, and he's leaving in like a Bentley or a Lamborghini that they gave him. Now, was he previously going, I need a car, I got to have a car, I got to have a car, got to have money to pay a bill, I don't even have a house, I don't have a house, got to... That's part of the blessings. You do what I created man to do and make right choices. When something happens to you, you choose to react the right way. Never underestimate the power of your reaction when something happens to you. Never, because the blessings and cursings are hanging in the balance of your very next word or your next action. Because you're getting ready to make a choice. Somebody flips you off on the highway, cuts you off. You're getting ready to make a choice. Happened to me right after I preach this. My son's with me, 15 years old, Caleb. Guy comes back and he flips me. I'm telling you, it wasn't one of those, and I'll see you. He's drilling it home. Okay. I'm gripping the stuff. I just preached this message. And Caleb goes, Dad, what? Bless him. He knew because he listened, like some of you are now. Dad, your next reaction, your next words, blessings and cursings are hanging on it. Be like Paul, choose blessings. And we grabbed hands and began to bless him. That's the way of life. Now, Paul knew something, right? How can you be in prison and do? And now, he gets the port. He's on this brand new, decked out Lamborghini with spinners ship. I'm sure there was some kind of music, boom, boom, tick, boom, boom, something going on. And you know the pile of bling he had. He put some of it. I'm sure he. And you know he wrote a letter to them, waiting on him. You know, and they're thinking slave ship because that's what he came in on. But he turns the corner. You guys have been at Walmart or wherever, and all of a sudden that one car, the four-wheel drive or whatever comes, and you're like, woo, you know. And all of a sudden they turn the corner. Paul's out there with all this bling on, you know. Come on. What's up? Now, and then he buys his home. Paul knew. Now, look what was all around the corner before the shipwreck, the storm, and the snake bite.
finances for the rest of his life. A vehicle that you can't be beat, world's best. Home paid off. Blessings. People getting healed. His calling. All were hanging in the blessings. I was preaching this in Boston, not knowing where I was really at. I mean, I knew where I was at, but I'm in my hotel room in Boston, and I'm going in the hotel room. Paul knew the blessings were coming. Paul knew the blessings were coming. Paul knew the blessings were coming. The blessings are coming. The blessings are coming. Did y'all flunk history? Try to just get ahead of me a little bit. I'm in Boston, and I'm saying out loud, not even thinking about it, Paul knew the blessings were coming. Paul knew the blessings were coming. The British are coming. The British are coming. Paul, come on, stay with me. The blessings are coming. I got so excited in my hotel room. He's the Paul Revere of the blessings. The blessings are coming. Don't block them. Your reactions, your words when somebody persecutes you, don't block them. Then he writes this verse. Oh, give me Romans 12:14. He writes this. Now remember, anytime you see blessing and cursing together, think choice. Right or wrong? Bless. Everybody say bless. Them which persecute you. There's one of those drug things, you know. What? Bless them and curse not. He tells us to do two things here. Bless and curse not. The word, when I looked this up, when I first read that, the Lord said to me, never underestimate the power of your reaction when somebody persecutes you. Never underestimate the power of your reaction or your words, because the next thing you do or say, the next thing you type, the next thing is a choice you just made in your life that'll either connect you with blessings or curses. And he said, a lot of you have been blocking blessings your whole life. They're blessing blockers. The word bless here is the Greek word U-E-U, logos. U logos. Let's put them together. Eulogy. Does anybody know what a eulogy is? U is the Greek word, that's two words. U is the Greek word good. Logos is the Greek word words. Put them together. Good words. You know what a eulogy is? That's at a funeral when someone's deceased and you speak good words on their behalf. No matter how bad that dude was, every minister knows this. You're supposed to do a eulogy. You know what eulogy means? Good words. You don't get up here and go, good thing he's dead. That dude, you don't hear eulogies like that. That's not a eulogy, right? Eulogy means what? Good words. Speak good words. Yeah, but no, speak good words. When someone persecutes you, speak good words. Now, because it's with blessings and cursings, the Lord said, your words are a choice when that happens. And I told man to choose blessing. Now, when we started this meeting, I gave y'all a choice. God gave you a choice. Walk out of here blessed the rest of your life. Duh. Who would choose cursing? You have. I have. When people have done us wrong, we chose. Paul knew this. That's why in prison, strike up a, let's bless a man. Hey, let's sing a song. Let's praise the Lord. He knew the walls were coming down and the chains were coming off. He knew it. If we stay connected and we bless him and not curse him. Ship goes down, loses everything. We're going to die. No, be of good cheer. Stay connected. The blessings are coming. That's a horse. All right. Is anybody getting anything out of this?
Oh, those ones that are, good thing you didn't sleep or text or write or talk to your neighbor. You're going to live your life in the blessings. We preached this at our church on a Wednesday night when God finally put it all together for me, and I got it. He was always there. Sunday, we had so many testimonies we couldn't have service. People crying, the blessings that I've been waiting on all my life. They're flowing. We have unblocked them. We've unblocked them. My children are coming home. They're serving the Lord. I paid off this bill. The blessings. Now, whenever you see blessings and cursings, always think choice. So when somebody persecutes you, think choice. Blessings and cursings. Right? Are y'all with me or not? Yeah. Speak good words and curse not. Curse words doesn't mean just what we think curse words. It means any bad, non-edifying, building up words. It's the same Greek word that grieves the Holy Spirit in Ephesians. Grieves the Holy Spirit. And we're going to find out angels as well. I'll tell you later. But he says, speak only good words. James 3:10 says this. Put that up there if you would. About blessings and cursings. When we think blessings and cursings, what do we think? Choice. And so blessing and cursing are coming and pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. One translation says, must stop now. Why? Because you are choosing cursing. Don't choose it. Bless them. Everybody say, bless them. Everybody say, bless them, Lord. See, you can do it. That person that you thought you hated, say it again. Bless them, Lord. See, look at you. Some of you did it. Well, some of you are going, well, I didn't mean it. Oh, hold on a second. Hold on. The Lord showed me something about that. Now, so blessing and cursing's coming out of the same mouth. The Lord talked to my mom about that. He said, you're trying to lay hands on people and get them healed. You're trying to speak into people's life and move in the Holy Spirit. And yet you come home to your husband, Kent, my dad, when I was little, before she went in the ministry, and you're having these blowout, knockout fights. Doesn't happen that way. Cursings and blessings coming out of the same mouth. Cancel each other out. You'll never operate in that. And we were poor. We didn't have anything. We didn't have blessings. Mom's kids weren't serving in the ministry yet. We were young. But I'll never forget the day everything happened. The Lord told me to give you three testimonies. I'm going to give you the short versions. So we're at the end of this. You guys have been really good. But I'm going to give you three testimonies that changed my life or somebody else's life, my mom's life or family's life. And now listen, because of choices. Are you with me? Yeah. And you're getting ready to walk out of here making a choice. The first one was, this is a world famous story about my mom that everybody in that other building knows about. And I was 10 years old watching The Choice. You know why I was watching it? I was a child, but you know why? I was witnessing. And if you ask my brothers and sisters, it was the day everything changed in the Brim family. It was the day everything went from cursings to blessings because of a choice my mama made. Now, back in the early 70s, and we lived in Oklahoma, when the first winter storm would come, we had a tradition, make chili, a big bowl of chili. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't eat chili when it's hot in the summer. Eat it cold when it's cold and it's hot chili. We love crackers with it, you know. So anyway, Mom was working all day with Brother Hagen, and she worked hard, and she came home. And this is back before fast food or dishwashers. This is back, or anybody had one in our town. But so Mama was doing all this laundry, and all six of us all together, and she's just working hard, and she worked all day, and Dad comes in, and we sit in the kitchen, and we don't have money or nothing. We didn't have luxuries of anything, and we didn't know about ministries, or Mom wasn't going to be a minister, or especially me. And so Dad comes home, and Mom worked hard, and she made that chili, and he takes a bite, Dad does, and I tell people Dad was like, Dad liked to push buttons. It was almost like his calling was to test other people's love walk. You know what I'm talking about? Don't point at anybody in here, but you know what I mean? So he takes a bite and he goes, and Mom worked hard. You could see her just working hard. Bless her heart.
And he said, this don't taste like my mama's chili. Now, see, your flesh ain't going to like to hear that scripture of bless those who persecute you. Your flesh is going to want to accuse them, point fingers at them, and defend you. That's what your flesh wants to do. Are you with me? That's what you want to do. That's what you want to type. That's what you want to say. That's the reactions you want to make. And if you do, that's cursing. Now, so he says that, and can you imagine what fleshly things could be going through her mind? Well, why don't you go? She didn't say this. Well, why don't you just go stay with your mama and you can have all her chili you want? That could have came out. Or poured the chili on him. Or threw, he liked that one. Or throw it or cry or go off or whatever. All kinds of choices waiting to be made. But Brother Hagin was teaching on this right here. And mom had put things up on card, on little 3x5 cards everywhere. One was in the cabinet where you got your glasses and bowls. She put them everywhere. She's going to get this thing down. And he makes that comment, and usually it was World War III. Here it comes. Well, you never respect people. You never, you never. Mom, Dad. And that's the way it used to be. And so mom walks over to the cabinet and opens it up. And we watched her, and she's reading about that love never fails, is not touchy, bless them, pray for him. Does she want to? No! But guess who was witnessing her? Her family and heaven. Heaven's going, that's it, Billy. That's it, Billy. You don't know this, but you got a huge ministry waiting ahead of you. You're going to write books. You're going to go into the White House. You're going to advise prime ministers in different countries. She's just a mama making chili. Little town of 3,000, Collinsville, Oklahoma. But heaven knows it, the blessings are coming. Paul's up there going, Billy, the blessings are coming. The blessings are coming. Are y'all getting this or not? Okay. Now, so she makes that choice. Did her flesh want to? I feel better. Your flesh feels better. So she goes and gets the phone and says, I'll call your mother and get her recipe and I'll make you another bowl of chili. Her recipe. Does she want to? No. No. He goes, it'll be fine. And he goes, we ran out of crackers. We didn't have crackers, so mom made this homemade cornbread. And boy, mama could make cornbread in a black skillet and iron skillet. And she'd put that edge on it, that crust on the edge. Give me a moment right now. And it's right out of the oven now, right out. Just butter goes, instantly melts on there. Come on. Y'all don't know cornbread. The new generation, they don't know cornbread. I'm not talking about Cracker Barrel cornbread. Or that jalapeno stuff, and I'm sure... I'm talking black skillet, crust on the edge. I just lost the anointing. No. And mama did that because we ran out of crackers. And he goes, why are we having cornbread? I'd rather have crackers. Mom goes back, opens that up. Bless them. Do not be touchy. Love never fails. Bless them and pray for them. Now, we're all witnessing, me and my brothers and sisters. She grabs the keys. She's tired. I'll go, she hits the door, I'll go get you some crackers. How Paul can do what he did and mom did what she did, but you can't even do it in traffic or you can't even do it online or tweeting or you can't do it even at school. And they were in prison. And you're wondering where the blessings are. So mom walks out that door, obeying the word. And he goes, hey, while you're at it. Mom's kind of like coming back like, you know, maybe, I'm sorry, baby, I love you. You know what I mean?
Hey, get some coffee while you're at it. We're out of coffee. This story is known all over the world. She walks back in, opens the cabinet door. Love is not touchy, love never fails. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. You know what she did? Now, you'll think right now, well, that wasn't in her heart. But you know what she did do, according to Paul? She at least stopped the cursing. It hadn't got to her heart yet, but if you make your move, God will always make his move. Now, a lot of people will get caught up right there and go, I don't mean it. Why should I pray for him? I want to kill him. I hate him. Okay, bless him. Well, if you bless him, no matter how it comes out, but you curse not. Come on, are y'all getting this or not? You stop. You put this invisible dam, this wall on the cursings because you stopped that. Now, you are making choices to release the blessings, unblock the blessings. And mom is going through that, and God will help you do that. So she stopped the cursings. Normally, she would have had a fight, but she stopped that because he said, curse not. Bad words. She wanted to, but she stopped them. They're held up. Angels, whatever, a wall, an invisible shield, whatever, the Holy Spirit, whatever, are stopped. The cursings are stopped. Now she's got to continue to make choices. God will help her. Some of you, that you don't have any wall, any stopping on those cursings. They're coming out daily. Those are choices you're making. And so, she goes to the store, and when she pulls in, guess what was on sale? Crackers and coffee. And it was like a sign, you know. But when she put it in park, she said, the love of God filled my... She said, the presence of God filled me, the car... Me, I started weeping. I started seeing Kent, my husband, as God sees him. Even though he was persecuting, God loves him just as much as she loves mom. Are y'all with me or not?
Yeah.
And she said, when that love of God came on me and in me, that's the day everything changed. She goes, all I wanted to do the rest of my life, everybody listen, is bless that man. I don't care what he did or said to me. And it did. When mom came through that door, we all watched it. It didn't matter what he said or what he did. She wanted to bless him. God made his move on mom because she made the right choice. And you know what happened? It changed dad. And because dad changed, his whole side of the family who wasn't saved, now saved. Why? Why? Because they were witnessing choices.
Amen.
And the blessings had everything to do with it. Her children who are now in the ministry were witnessing that choice mom made. And all of it was hanging on it. Think of all the people that were healed, all the people that have been blessed or saved in mom's eyes or all the ministries were hanging in the balance because of a choice she made. What about your choices and what's hanging on your balance? Oh, well, really? There's other people's lives depending on it that you don't even know about. And you still want to make those choices of being mean to people and saying bad words? Well, they deserve it. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of Christians going, well, we just need to speak up and give up. You know what? Those Christians are bitter, and they're coming to church, and they're filling churches. They still love God, but they sit back there bitter, and they never experience the blessings of God that he has for them. And they're mad at God, and they don't understand why God won't answer their prayers or anything else. And he said, wait a minute. I created you, and I gave you a choice, and you chose life. Now choose blessings. Don't just choose them. Be one. Speak one. Live it. Speak it. Be a blessing. And you'll live in the blessings, and the blessings will overtake you. Amen. The other one was when I was falsely accused after 3 state championships. Remember the Smurfs? When you start winning, people get jealous because they want what you have without doing what you did to get it. And so I was falsely accused of illegal recruiting. Are you kidding? I couldn't get people there. No, honestly, we worked them so hard. that people wouldn't come. I didn't try to get them. I was totally for illegal. I thought that was bad in high school, recruiting kids, and coaches did it. And I'm getting accused of it. We won our third state championship, and so they call me up to the office, and there's all the old English leather guys, you know, of our school. And they said, Chip, we got a call from the state association, and they said that a letter has been sent in that you have been illegally recruiting players. And I laughed because it was a lie. I said, whatever. I said, I'm going back to practice. They said, Chip, turn around. This is serious. And I said, I'm serious. That's a lie. I'm going back to practice. They said, in 30 days, they're going to have a hearing. And nobody in the history of this association has ever walked out of there without their job. You will lose your job. They put a mandate on it. This is something that they're not playing around with. And they've got these big time lawyers and everything else. Nobody's ever won this case. And I said, wait a minute. I didn't do nothing wrong, number one, but win and work hard. And you're telling me in 30 days I'm losing my job. And they said, yes. Not only are you going to lose your job, but you'll never coach again. Now, I didn't know that Champions for Christ, which had the Smurfs and all of this and all these stories, and you was hanging in the balance. I didn't know about I'm going to be a minister one day. I don't know about those stuff, but it's hanging in the choice I make. Are you all with me? I can tell you about meetings I've been in where hundreds of kids get saved. That's what's hanging in the balance. And I didn't have the love walk thing down yet. And I slammed his desk and I said, who are they? He goes, we don't know. We won't know until the hearing 30 days from now. I said, because I'm going to kill them. And I meant it. I meant it. I'm going to do the time. I don't care. They're taking everything. I went to a lot of years in college to get that degree. More years than normal to get that degree. And they're going to take it away from me. I got a little baby. Taylor was just little. They're going to take that. Where am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? How am I supposed to pay bills? Where am I going to live? And this is a lie. Can y'all understand where I'm coming from? Now, some of you might be going, well, you may have did it. I don't know. No! Get over that. Falsely accused. And I, bam! And so I go home and it came out in the paper, and here comes the media, and here comes the cameras at the door. Headlines brim, cheats for titles. Reputation, boom. Taylor's getting ridiculed at school and can't go anywhere, grocery stores, people look at you, talk about you, whatever. Mama calls me. Who? Same mama who did this before, and everything changed. Yeah. Are y'all with me? Yeah. She have experience to speak into my life? Yes. She said, Chip, I heard it. I saw it on the news. I said, yep. I'm not happy, dude. I'm just thinking of how I can kill them. I'm seriously thinking how I can hire somebody. I can do something to find out who they are. And I'm going to kill their dog, too. Woo! I'm telling you, I'd lost it. All of that aggression from football in high school and college and everything. You ain't going down with the fight. How many know that's the wrong choice? They deserve it. Boy, I would have been a bitter Christian the rest of my life, wouldn't I? God. So anyway. She said, here's what you got to do, baby. You got to do three things. What? Number one. What is it? I'll do it. But first, she goes, if you do these three things, you'll win. I said, Mom, nobody's ever won this case ever in the history. She says, I don't care if a million, billion, gazillion, drillion, deal. She started making up names. Have never won it. You got to know my mom. Yeah. Yeah. Love never fails. Yeah. All right, what's number one? You have to pray for those and bless those. She's quoting Romans 4:14. You have to bless. What's bless mean? Good words. You have to bless those who persecute you and curse not. I said, Mom, there's no way. I hate them. I want to kill them. I can't pray or bless them. She says, you have to. I can't. Survey says, bless them. Wrong answer. I didn't do that. But if I was on the Family Feud, it would have been all right? Stay with me, guys. I'm just trying to keep you awake. That's what all the animation's about. It's not great acting skill. Thank you. Thank you for the cameraman. I got to laugh. I like it. Really cool. All right. Now, Steve, do you ever laugh at Steve? Oh. Forget. He's no, don't even pay attention. So, I'm just kidding. So I said, Mom, I can't. She goes, you have to. I'm not even going to tell you number two until you do number one. I said, I'm not going to do number one. Go to number two. If I do two and three, that's two-thirds. Maybe God, it's good, you know. No, you have to do number one. I'm not going to two until you do. Mom, I'll do one. Okay, but you're doing one. Yes. Make sure you do one. Okay. Number two, she says, you got to pray in the Spirit like you've never prayed in the Spirit before because your mind doesn't know how to pray, and the Holy Ghost does, and it'll pray out the mysteries and unlock things and do things like that. Number three is you got to say with your mouth, no weapons formed against me shall prosper, because you don't have, the Bible doesn't say you have whatsoever you think it. The Bible says you have whatsoever you say it. I said, I can do two and three, no problem. You got to do one. Oh, yeah, I'll do one. So she said, okay, and then you'll win, but you got to do it. Bye. Love you. Here was my first prayer. Y'all ready? Here's my first prayer. I'm just being honest. God, oh, God, God, bless them. That's it. That's all I got. Now, there's going to be, especially in the back, a lot of holy people. That's not going to work. That wasn't from your heart. God showed me something. Thank you. You're getting back up there. God showed me something about that. He said, Chip, you know what you did even in that prayer? Because a lot of people will get under condemnation and go, that wasn't from the heart and I didn't mean it. And you'll stop it and then continue with your evil words. He said, but you know what you did do? You did do something. Really? Just bless them. Even with them. I did something? Yeah. You stopped the cursing. Oh. Come on. Bless and curse not. Are you with me? Good words, not bad words. I stopped the cursing. But I didn't feel it yet. What in my heart yet? God said, I'll make my move. You just continue to make your move. I did it on your mother. Look how that came out. I did it on Paul. Look how that came out every time. I'll do it for you. You want to know why? It's a choice. When I first made man, I said, now choose. Choose all your words and choose your reactions because blessings and cursings are hanging on it. The rest of your life. The rest of your life. And so day two came. Guess what my prayer was? Bless them! Did my flesh like it? No! But I stopped the cursing. And some Christians like to faith, like to use these made-up, faithy, bless their heart ways of talking about people that it sounds like they're not in the wrong. You can't find that scripturally. And they're blocking their blessings. Well, you know, bless their hearts. They don't know. They need Jesus, blah, blah. It never says anywhere in the Bible only to pray and bless them. It doesn't say sit there and talk about that. Because your heart knows. God knows your heart when you're doing that. And you're doing it in a Christian-y, faithy, flowery way. Stop it. Blessings and cursings from the same mouth. Unless you want to live in cursings the rest of your life, stop it. Make the right choice. Can you do that? Everybody say, bless them, Lord.
Bless them, Lord.
Now, so there I'm going for 2 weeks. All I said was, bless them, Lord. Straight into tongues. That was easy. And after 2 weeks go by, I'm laying on the floor. I go, bless him, Lord. That's all I had. And all of a sudden, that same love of God poured in me, filled me that came on my mom. The same love that's undescribable. God loves them just as much as he loves me. I stood up, and it was just a second ago I wanted to kill them. Now the love of God is in me, and I see them like God sees them. How many know that those people who I hate, God loves them just as much as he loves me? And he sent his son, and Jesus died for them just as much as he did for me. So who is he to say? He loves both of us the same. And here I am cursing? No, but at least I stopped the cursing. I stopped the cursing. And even though I didn't get under condemnation, this ain't working. I need to talk to somebody about it. No, I stopped it. And because I did my part, God came in and I was able to see them with the love of God. I truly stood up and said, God, they may not even be saved. They may be headed for hell. God, maybe you're using me to help them. Maybe I'm a laborer in their path. Oh, God, I felt so privileged. And yet seconds ago, if I had a gun in them, seconds ago. See the difference between human love and God love? But that just didn't come on you, man. That's a choice you make. I want that love. Then choose. Choose. Stop the cursing. Start the blessing. Are y'all with me? And so I couldn't wait for the 2 weeks. Now that was 2 weeks. Now I got two more weeks. I couldn't wait for the hearing so I could hug them and kiss them and love them and pray for them. Who? These people who I wanted to kill earlier and are taking everything away from me. We go to the hearing. The press is there. All the lawyers, the big long, that room was filled. Everything was there because it was even more so because we had won the state titles. Smurfs are listening to it, trying to watch. They were involved. They knew we hadn't cheated. A lot of witnesses hanging in the balance at that courtroom. And they said, it came down to... The guy said, gets his gavel, and he says, well, we're done, we're finished, and just like it's always going to be, you're guilty. And he comes down with that gavel, and the Lord told me, he said, Chip, you were 8 inches away. Your ministry was 8 inches away from never happening. And he came down with that gavel, and a lady stood up and said, wait, I'm not done, and he stopped, and the Lord showed me it was 8 inches from hitting that gavel. 8 inches away. And he said, ma'am, he gets on the microphone. He says, ma'am, we're done. She said, no, I got something else to add. And she added this lie from hell, of course. Well, Coach Brim came to our town, and I just wanted to add this in. And I thought, why is he there in our town? And so I stepped behind him and took notes. One coach said to Chip, Coach Brim, why are you here? He replied, quote, this is what she said. Or the devil said, I'm illegally here to illegal recruit illegal players for my illegal program. Thank you. The rest of them are going, well, did he say it? Really? Really? I should be banned from coaching if anybody. I'm illegally here to recruit illegal players for my illegal program illegally. Illegal. Legal, legal, legal. She's reading this like, gotta look like. The whole time I'm in the hearing praying for these people, loving them. I want to hug you. Just the opposite of the first day. Boom, I want to kill them. That's the love of God. Paul had this. Guess what was happening? The blessings are coming. Guess who was witnessing? My dad in heaven. People in the courtroom. The Smurfs. We're witnessing. And so they said, ma'am, sit down. Sit down. I'm not done. Yeah, you're done. Sit down. We've been here for 70 some odd years. We're in the same cologne. No, they didn't say that. We inherited from our great grandfather. I had to add that in because of the story. Okay. These are the guys that came in the dugout on that one. All right. And we have never heard such a lie as that. So we have to base this whole case on the lies. Chip, you win the case. Listen, I think heaven went, woo! Because it says they're cheering us on. To this day, it's the only case of that type. And there's dozens a year that go through this court case because coaches cheat. They just do. They get accused. And every year, if it's on TV, they'll go, you know, and we always know the only one that won was in 1999, you know, and there's the Chip Brim case. It's the only one to this day. Mom said, I don't care if a zillion, billion, gajillion, jillion, zillion. Remember? Yeah. Love never fails. Now, you want to know why? Because of the choice to bless them. And curse not. God made you. He made man. He said, bless them. Now be a blessing. Somebody persecutes you, does you wrong. What are you supposed to do? Everybody say, bless them, Lord. I don't care if it's in your heart or not yet. It'll get there. And God will make sure of it. Are you with me?
Yes.
Can you say, bless them, Lord?
Bless them, Lord.
I want you to do that for the next week or so. I challenged my church to do it, and they came back. And guess what they did? They stopped the cursings, and the blessings begin to come. And they couldn't stop but give their testimony. Are you with me? The Go Ministry Ranch, the Lord told me back there, is already done and waiting on them because of the choices Steve made when they were persecuted at a certain time. I heard it. I heard it in me. That's part of the blessings. And it's all because the choice. He could have chose to curse them. He could have chose to even come to me. I remember when that one deal, you know what I'm talking about, Steve? And Steve and I said, dude, this is all of our meetings. What we're going to bless them. Remember? And we're going to go on. And we're going to mature. And we're not going to talk about them. And our ministries have taken off. We've only seen the beginning. But I want you interns to know, and everybody's there, it's because what you're about to see in the next days, and you're going to rejoice together, I want you to always remember it was a choice. And he's teaching you those choices. Now, the last thing, I'm right at the end, and that's a choice. But I want to share something with you. How many have ever heard of James Robinson? Have you seen him on TV with his wife, Betty? And okay, I want to tell you first. Oh, Romans 14. Listen, everybody listen. The moment you begin judging others, that very moment you start condemning yourself. I looked up the word condemn. It says to pronounce a sentence upon yourself. The second you choose to make your reaction and you text back and you come on now, you guys, are y'all with me? I'm trying to get on your level here, you know, texting, whatever. Bullet, cyberbullying, whatever you want to call it. You condemn or pronounce a sentence upon yourself. And the Greek says it implies, the word condemn implies to open the door of doom. Doom, unpleasant, disastrous, destructive events. You have just given place to the devil and condemned yourself with unpleasant events. Or you could choose the other. Amen?
Amen.
And bless them. Bless them, Lord. Everybody do it.
Bless the Lord.
No, do it with that one person in mind. Now do it.
Bless the Lord.
Can you do that? Can you say that? Can you at least stop the cursing? My whole life, my mama said, it sounded like I'm going to talk about somebody in a nice churchy way, she would say, Chip, what you're about to say, is it going to bless the Lord? Is it going to glorify God? Because all we do and say glorifies God. Or, no. Then let's bless them and pray for them. Is God using her? Absolutely. Blessing her. Gosh, I hope somebody's getting something out of this thing. Well, I needed to hear it. Brother Copeland told me this story personally. I love it when he tells me a story. Get down in there and, you know, got the point, boom, does that story. He said, Chip, you know James. I said, yeah, I know of him. I don't know him like you do. He's got big old hands, man, like bear hands. He said, if he grabs a hold of you, you're not leaving. You're trapped until he lets go. He said he was preaching at a men's event. 1,000 men were there. And so he gets up there, and a pastor came up, and he shook his hand. So he's trapped. And the pastor wanted to talk about, in a real nice, churchy way, because they were friends, Brother Copeland. Just didn't agree with some stuff, and, you know, bless his heart. And you know what I mean? And James picked up on it. And he said, come up here with me. Well, he's trapped. It doesn't matter. He's got to come up here. He said, what are you doing? He said, everybody stand up and reach your hands out towards brother so-and-so. He said, he's got Brother Copeland on his heart. And we all know what to do and what the Bible says to do when somebody's on your heart, pray and bless them. So reach out your hands as he leads us in a prayer for Brother Copeland. He didn't want to pray for Brother. That's the last in front of 1,000 people. No, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, what? So here's what he said. I promise you, this is what he said. I was so cool when Brother Coleman told me this. I said, what did he say? I was hoping he said this. He said his first words were, Lord, bless him. Huh? Can you do that? Yeah. Say, Lord, bless them. All right. Pray. I can already hear it down the hallways, down your schools. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. What is all the blessing going on around here? He said, bless them, Lord. And then he said, bless his family, and his home, and his plane, his jet, Citation 10. You can see that's not from the heart. You know what? All of heaven's watching. He's witnessing his choices. I don't think they're all going, oh, I don't think God. I think God's going, that's a start. Come on, baby. Come on now. You're not cursing. You're not cursing. High five. Bless him. And James held on to him, and he knew what was going to happen. And sure enough, about somewhere in there, he drops to his knees crying. Because the love of God, God made his move, and he'll make his move for you if you stop the cursing. If you make the right choice, God will never leave you hanging. He drops to his knees crying and seeing Brother Copeland the way God sees him. You're not looking at those people who persecuted you like God sees them. You're only looking at them through your eyes in the human natural. Are you with me? So you can't think in the flesh like that. You can't do it. Spirit and flesh can't work together. And he began to truly, God bless his ministry. You can see it. He jumps off the stage, runs to the airport, buys a ticket to Fort Worth, comes to Fort Worth, runs by the secretary, and Brother Copeland was there, which was a miracle. Goes in there at his feet, hugs him. He don't know him. They hug. They're loving on each other. And Brother Copeland says, and you know what? He said, from that moment on, his life, his family, his ministry, his health,
his finances,
the blessings of God. Overtook him. You know what he did?
He blocked the cursing.
David said, God, put a guard over my mouth.
And he unblocked the blessings. You know what he did? He made the right choice. And the rest of his days, he's walking in the blessings. That choice is for you.
Now, same guy, James Robinson. Jerry Savelle tells me this story. We're speaking at ORU. We're having lunch after the meeting. And it's me, Brother Copeland, James Robinson, and a certain pastor. He said that certain pastor had somebody on his heart again. Different. This is a different guy. And he's talking about his ministry. James gets up after dinner or lunch and he goes, hey, would you guys run an errand with me? Because it won't take very long. Just come with me in my car. I'll get you back here in time. Yeah. So they get in the car, and James goes to the house of the guy that guy at lunch was talking about. And so they don't know where they're at. None of the guys know where they're at. He goes up and rings the doorbell. That guy answers the door. The guy who was talking about him is like, James goes, hey, how you doing? Brother so-and-so's got you on his heart. Let's get this all worked out. Now, something's happened. I'm ending with this. And I've just been released to tell it. But Jerry Savelle had a open-eyed vision lately. And when he heard this, and I heard that, it was confirmation of what God's trying to tell us. And he got up one night, and he saw in his backyard a light beam, and he thought it was an angel, and it got closer, and it was Buddy Harrison. And Buddy Harrison is Brother Hagin's son-in-law, who he knew real well. And he thought it was an angel. Why is it? And it was the young Buddy. It wasn't the sick Buddy that died later in his life. It was the young, vibrant, good-looking Buddy. Brother Hagin's son-in-law. And he goes, Buddy, why are you here? When Jerry was telling this story to Brother Copeland and my mother, he was crying. Mom said he was visibly shook. You could sense he'd been in the presence of a heavenly being or God or something. And he was just crying and shaking. And he said, Buddy, why are you here? Do you have a message from heaven? And Buddy said, yes, I have a message from heaven. He said, what is it? And he said, tell the ministers to stop talking about other ministries. Tell them to stop judging one another. Tell them to stop criticizing one another. And so he began to leave. And if he meant it for the ministers, then he meant it for the people, because that's the leaders of the people as well. And so he began to leave, and he said, Buddy, and he turned and he said, How do you know when this happens? Does heaven know when this happens? And he says, when it happens, all the angels fold their wings. You have an angel sent to you. And every time you text that, and every time you write that, all of heaven means angels included, know the choices you make. And that angel sent to you, I believe with all my heart after hearing this, fold their wings. I can't hear this. I wasn't created to hear this. I didn't make that choice when Lucifer went. I'm not making that choice now. Angels have a will. I'm not going to have my angel fold their wings. I'm not stepping out of here the rest of my days choosing cursings. Are you with me? Yeah. Don't just choose it, be it, speak it, live it. Amen? Are you guys good?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hey, now let me say a prayer over. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you that it's just permeating. It's just inside of us. It's in our hearts. I plead the blood over every word that was spoken. And Lord, just as you began this meeting, if we can choose the rest of our steps, the rest of our days, the rest of our breath, we can choose blessing. I believe that's in them. And I plead the blood over it, and it will not go void. They will not be the same. They will always remember the choice. They will begin to bless them. They will never forget bless them. They'll stop the cursing. Ooh, glory to God, and you'll make your move in their life. And it's not only going to bless them, it's going to bless the witnesses that are watching. It's going to bless their brothers and their sisters, their mothers and their fathers. It's going to bless their neighbors and their friends and their students. It's going to bless them all their lives because of these choices. Thank you, Jesus, for making the right choice. Thank you, God, for giving us this choice. And it is a privilege and an honor. Thank you, Paul, by the way, because I know you're witnessing this meeting. Thank you, Paul, for making all those right choices. And it gets an example for us. And we give you all the glory for all the blessings that are about to happen in this room. We'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm done. Praise God. Who do we got? Come on.